Today's high 80. New numbers are in. Wind from the west-southwest at 3. Humidity stays high at 89%, 72 degrees. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg, next.
Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for the morning show also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD HD. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm excited about today. We are celebrating an anniversary, a significant anniversary, the 90th anniversary of Kenosha County's parks. And it is a beautiful park system indeed. And I'm sure many of you, maybe all of you, have at one point or another experienced the beauty of Petrifying Springs. That's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of all of the beautiful parkland that is open to the public here in Kenosha County. And here to tell us all about it and to tell us about a wonderful celebration planned to commemorate this anniversary is Jim Cruiser, who is Kenosha County Executive, and Matt Collins, who is Director of Parks for Kenosha County. And we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Good morning, Greg. It's great to be here.
Good morning as well.
Yeah, good to have you here on such a beautiful day, the perfect day to be out exploring the parks. Jim Cruiser, I want to start with you because you said something before we went on the air that I think is really crucial, and that is, in your time as Kenosha County Executive, you have really approached the parks in a way perhaps a bit differently from any of your predecessors in terms of where the parks sort of are in your array of priorities. And on your list of priorities, they're very, very high on the list.
That's absolutely true, Greg. We need to maintain a quality of place in our community. And the more I get around, and I've been active in, you know, my whole life, born and raised in Kenosha, and you look at the quality of place we have, and as we expanded, and in the 2008, 2009, 2010, in the Great Recession, we were able to attain significant stewardship dollars. So we were paying anywhere from 40 cents on the dollar to as low as 10 cents on the dollar for money to upgrade our parks equipment, remove the dam out at Pets to alleviate some of those summer floods we had, and then also to pave the bike paths and have a master plan for our county and actually connect our parks and upgrade them in such a way that people are using them more and more. And that's, I think, a successful park system is when you're actively having people out there utilizing them and wearing the grass out. Many people these days are not owning a home. They don't have a backyard, and this gives them an outlet. More people are health conscious, so they're riding their bikes. We put paths along 30th Avenue and out to Pets, and we have some other grants coming in from the federal government with some matching dollars that we were expanding, and we apply for those with regularity to work with municipalities like Pleasant Prairie to fit into their local bike plan. And we've really gone for that quality of place so that people, young and old, can enjoy them. Created three dog parks, two of the top 10 disc golf courses at Fox River and Silver Lake Parks, off-road biking at Silver Lake Park, built by volunteers, and the dog parks are run by a volunteer organization, not on the tax levy. So we're very cost-conscious, and but try to trend where those places that add value to the community for young and old, but especially millennials, because you want people to choose Kenosha County to be their home at a young age if you can.
Right. And, of course, the whole point of quality of place, I think, is something that's on a lot of people's minds right now because of this possibility, which looks like not just a possibility, but a probability, all but a certainty, that Foxconn is coming into the area with a huge facility that promises an extraordinary opportunity for many people to have really good jobs, but also, of course, raises some interesting questions and issues about just what you were talking about, quality of place and the way in which something like that might sort of alter the landscape. I just want you to say a quick word about the kind of things that need to be weighed when this kind of possibility comes across your path. A Foxconn, of course, is kind of an unprecedented opportunity. I mean, this is really something like nothing like that we've seen before. But as somebody who has confronted and continues to confront questions like this, what are the kinds of things we should be thinking about? And
sure. There are a number of items that you have to look at. You need to look to make sure your current infrastructure is in place, that it doesn't create a logjam for the people who live here already. So we need to have proper traffic flow. We need to make sure, especially in lieu of the recent sad event of many people having their homes flooded out, stormwater drainage, proper retention ponds. Those things need to be very seriously weighed when you have this large of a company coming in. And I stand ready to work with whatever municipal leaders, wherever this ends up, Racine or Kenosha, depending on how some of those waters travel back and forth between communities, to, in fact, mitigate issues that disasters that could happen, like what recently happened with the 200-year rains that actually equals about a 500-year rain, causing that flooding. And we need to avoid people getting flooded out. We worked tremendously with the Public Works Department and Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Dave Beth, and the Highway Division and the other municipalities in trying to recover from that. But some of the damage to some of these homes are just, my heart goes out to them, and we're trying to get as much federal money as we can on that issue. When a big company comes in, it creates opportunity, but you need to be planful and strategic about what are the amenities they're going to need. What, you know, are you going to then create an adverse quality of life? Now, it's a great opportunity because you get a company like this, you're going to get high professionals moving here. You're going to get boomerang kids. A lot of people my age are now moving back to Kenosha or have moved back in the last 10 or 15 years, gone to college, had a career, said, you know what, I want to raise a family. This is a great place to raise a family in Kenosha County. And when they come back, you don't want to alter that quality of place that we've known our whole lives.
Especially, the quality of life that they've known. I mean, they want to be able to come back to Kenosha County and recognize the place.
Yes. And things change. As our community has grown, there's areas that I used to hunt and fish that you can't hunt anymore. They're developed, and that's growth. There's a lot of Kenosha County. And if you want young people to stay here or more employment, you need to have growth. This is, well, the biggest growth opportunity in the state's history, and by some measurements, the biggest in the nation. For it to come here in Kenosha or Racine, If the environmental issues are taken care of, it would be good for both of us. It doesn't matter if it's in Kenosha or Racine, it would be good for both of us. But we need to be cognizant of the drainage issues. And I think all of those issues can be resolved. I really do. But we need to be ahead of the curve and not chasing it.
The last point I want to make on this, you mentioned before we went on the air, and I know there's virtually nothing you probably can really say publicly about this, about the details, but you did mention the fact that you and the city of Kenosha Mayor, John Antaramian, are very much on the same page when it not only when it comes to something like this, but all kinds of other matters. I wonder if you could just say a word about how important that is, and also maybe to what extent how uncommon it is for a county executive and the major mayor within that county being the kind of allies that, that you and Mr. Antaramian are for each other.
John and I, Antaramian, have known each other from the early 80s, and we've worked well together in those capacities when I was a legislator and he was mayor, and now he's mayor and I'm county executive. And the legislative backgrounds we have is incredibly important and helpful for each of our jobs, and to collaborate with each other and to work with great people like Peter Barca, Bob Wirch, Samantha Kirkman, Todd Onstead. We can just double down our efforts in Madison and on the federal level, quite frankly, to get as much federal and state dollars as we can, and strategically getting the horsepower to get a lot of things done. They've all been very helpful in getting monies for the county. We've gotten millions and millions of dollars for our park systems and the rest of Kenosha County. But Mayor Antaramian and I have a great working relationship. We like to think of the big picture. We're on the back nine of our careers, and we want to continue to put things in place that will stand the test of time to keep Kenosha a great place to live, work, and raise a family. He has a key component in this because the water utility is going to be a key factor in this, wherever this goes, if it's in, within Kenosha County. And we have to make sure that the water rates are commensurate with, and the usage is commensurate with what the cost will be at the water utility, so those don't get shifted to the other residents in our community. You need to pay for the services you get, and that will be true with a new company. And he's being very firm and diligent on that, and I am supporting his efforts.
Very good. Well, I know that one of the things you are very happy about and proud of, pleased about, is that 2 years ago you hired the gentleman who is sitting right next to you, Matt Collins, the director of Kenosha County Parks. Tell us about that moment of transition, because someone had been in place for a long, long time with big, big shoes to fill. Tell us about the significance of this moment in Kenosha County Park history.
Sure. And the park systems began in 1927 when the Kenosha County Parks Commission formed and began buying property. The first purchase was land owned by the Elverman family. Yes, Dennis Elverman is a descendant. He's the public works chair on the county board, and this became Fox River Park. I will tell you that 42 years ago, or actually, you know, about 45 years ago, John Rudy was hired as a young temporary employee and worked his way up through the ranks, and shortly after becoming county executive, we decided he needs to be the director. He had so much tribal knowledge of our park system, the six parks that we have, the bike trails that we have, the history of it, and a vision of how to bring it to the next level. We were able to add a lot of new activities, a new infrastructure like the dam removal, new playground equipment. We really manicured and had a renaissance, especially of Petrifying Springs Park. But John spent 42 years of his life with a great team working with him, and that team is still intact. And when he decided to retire, I said no. And then he said, no, Jim, I really have to retire. And I said no, but then he said, okay, but we need to, in working with the county board on several key positions like John Rudy's, our succession planning is to hire somebody, have that person involved in the hiring, and have them work side by side for a year. You can't learn in 3 months what 42 years have taught somebody. And with that happening, we picked one of the best and brightest people I've met that understands parks to a high level, Matt Collins, and they clicked immediately, and John Rudy said, Matt Collins is the guy who can bring it to the next level. He can retire with a good conscience, and his cell phone's always on, and Matt can call him if there's anything. They have a great friendship, and it's really been a good, smooth transition for Kenosha County citizens, where we haven't lost a beat, but in fact, in many areas, the beat has gotten faster.
There you go. So, Matt Collins, let's first of all find out a little bit about where you come from originally and your background that made you such an attractive candidate for this position of Director of Parks back in 2015. First, tell us about where you come from originally and the kind of things you were interested in as you grew into adulthood.
Absolutely. So I think the most important thing for myself is that, just like John Rudy, I grew up in the parks at an early age as a high school job, a seasonal position. I was working in pools, doing simple things as far as cleaning facilities to string trimming to mowing grass, and truly learning a park system the same as John Rudy did from the ground up. So you have a deep-rooted respect for what truly goes into the management of a park. So it's great that people can come out and enjoy and see a beautiful green space that's well manicured, but to really understand the utilities, the infrastructure, and all levels truly gave me that inspiration and passion from an early age to stick with this as a career. So that was really the motivating force for me to truly wrap my lifestyle off family and everything else to be wrapped around a park system, because it's truly critical to a community. So from there, I worked with Milwaukee County Parks for 14 years before I made the leap and joined Jim Cruiser's team to take over for John Rudy as director of the Kenosha County Parks.
So do you go to college to work in parks?
That's part of the deal, absolutely. I think the most important thing is, like I say, learning from staff, having that institutional knowledge, because there's no textbook that is able to teach you about what you need to really learn about the basics of managing a park system. But there also is that educational aspect that makes you diversified, well-rounded, in order to handle all aspects of managing the infrastructure of a park system, too.
So what kind of college degree did you get? And I know that you listed off a whole bunch of additional degrees beyond that, so you have spent some time in the classroom, nevertheless.
I guess I got an addiction to education a little bit, but I started with my undergraduate at UW-Whitewater, and simultaneously, after graduating with my undergrad in UW-Whitewater, I received a full-time position with Milwaukee County, and they were able to bring me back to school in order to get some associate's degrees from MATC. So that included supervisory management, sustainable facilities operations. And after I was able to finish those programs and degrees, I figured to take the largest plunge and just finished last year with my MBA from Cardinal Stritch University to really hone in on the business aspect, because a lot of what Jim was talking about is those mutually beneficial deals that include a lot of budgetary management, how to collaborate with your business community in order to find creative ways to bring new amenities and a sustainable park system. So the MBA was really critical for me to be well-rounded and really bring those skills to the table as the director.
Right. Jim Cruiser, you were saying also that one of the things that Matt brought to this position was being tech-savvy. And, of course, even as something as natural and unfettered as our county parks, you still need to know your way around the computer in order to really function in this modern world, I should think.
Sure. People want to know what the activities are. They're online, online reservation systems, a number of things that Matt brought to us. And the other key theme is we want to make sure that we rework our parks in such a way that they're efficient for our people to maintain, allow a higher level of people to use them with a lower environmental impact, and sustainable. So we're trying to work all those together, and also it becomes educational for people, especially young people who go out there, to teach about sustainability. Because what better opportunity would you have is in a park system to teach about sustainable habits for a community. We want that park to be as good or better for the future.
Right. And you want people to be able to look at it and say, this is how you sustain something in a healthy way.
If people want to jump on a bike trail, we want them to know where it is. It's online. All the maps are online. There's a new activity guide which has everything that we're doing every day of the week. And as you know, we have a 90th anniversary gathering from noon to 8 p.m. out of Petrifying Springs Park this Saturday, and it's a big deal.
We'll get to that in just a little bit. For those of you just joining us, we're talking with Jim Cruiser, the Kenosha County Executive, and with Matt Collins, who is the Director of Kenosha County Parks. Matt, it's a big county, and those of us particularly who live right here in Kenosha and or Racine probably have not even seen all of the beautiful county parks in Kenosha County. So why don't you sketch them for us? I mean, begin with the ones that are close to home, like Petrifying Springs, but then take us out into the county.
Absolutely. So many people know that Petrifying Springs is renowned not only for our local community, but really is a regional draw from citizens throughout all of southeastern Wisconsin to the northern Illinois, that anyone that mentions pets knows what we're talking about, because it has a long history of being a quality park system that is truly a gem to our community. When you just drive through there, you get a certain feeling that you just know that this is one of the best parks in the state, if not only in the country. But when you park your vehicle and you're able to walk these beautiful trails and go up and down a ravine and get hidden and lost within our woods, you don't even feel like you're in an urban environment anymore. And that's truly giving a lot of credit to our forefounders with the Park Commission back in 1927 that truly knew to protect and preserve this gem within our community, because they knew that the development that was going to come quickly around there. So collaborating with the Work Progress Administration and even with the CCC, out west, we were able to do a lot of great things collaborating from a local community and the federal government. So that's truly the gem of our park system. If you haven't been out west, that's a majority of where our parks are. And again, they're a great regional draw that you have built-in activities no matter what time of day, during the day, weekend, you have something for everyone within those parks. A few high points of our amenities is 10 miles of mountain bike trails within Silver Lake Park. That was completely done by our collaborative not-for-profit group, Southeastern Wisconsin Trail Alliance. They're a great, energetic group that came to Jim with an idea to bring mountain biking into the parks, and working between the groups, they're able to not only create those trails and provide a great amenity for our constituents, but they're able to maintain it day in and day out. So they truly have the passion, and it's all 100% volunteer driven with that amenity.
Always adhering to best practices for sustainable trails like that in a natural setting. So those practices that Kettle Moraine follows, we're following. Trails have to be built to a specification. You have to be trained. There's certain tools they can and can't use out there that we have to use, and they can use the hand tools. So there's certain things that were complicated, but it ensured that our public resource was, in fact, built in such a way that it adhered to a sustainable, proper standard.
Great. So in other words, you don't just plow a trail willy-nilly wherever you feel like it. The careful studies are done to figure out exactly where these trails should be, and then they are, in a sense, created or installed properly.
Yeah, there was definitely a strategic plan put in place by a professional trails builder. So when you talk about just putting a trail through a woods, that's not what we do whatsoever. A trail has to be built with a certain grade level so stormwater is managed and pitched directly so it doesn't sit in a swale on the trail. In order for these trails to dry up properly, just the management alone takes a lot of time and energy to learn the proper techniques, how to deberm these trails. When it comes to developing these things, it has to be integrated in such a way that the direct impact onto your normal park user is minimalized. There's a lot of natural areas through Silver Lake Park that we were able to integrate these mountain bike trails that if you drove your vehicle through, you'd never have an idea that 10 miles of trails exist. Yet, for those that use them, they're beautiful, they're challenging, but at the same time, they're for all users. We have different skill levels from youth that are using Strider bikes without even any pedals that families can go around a small loop next to our soccer field, to the more of the challenging ones that really want to be a thrill seeker. So we were really purpose-built to make sure that we're able to invite more of a family-centric trail system to our community.
One of the parks that I have yet to see from looking at the map, it looks like it's the one farthest from here, which is KD Park, which, if I remember correctly, you said is the newest of the Kenosha County parks. Tell us exactly where that is and how that came to be part of the county's park system.
So KD Park, if you're traveling, I would say the best way for someone that has not found it yet, which I highly recommend for you to do, is travel Highway 50 just going westbound until you truly intersect County Highway KD, which is 352nd Avenue. So just go southbound on 352nd Avenue, and you directly approach the park, which is, you see a beautiful 39-acre man-made quarry lake right over there. We received stewardship funding in order to put in a brand-new parkway, parking lot, stormwater management features with bioretention swales. So this park has been popularized by our improvements over this last year, and we have a complete master plan of what we want to work towards to have truly attainable goals to build in a very sustainable natural area within our county park system to really try to make this park either a passive area that you could just hike on our over 4 miles of trails, or take your canoe or kayak out to our non-motorized our lake over there.
So each of those parks, Greg, have a different focus. We don't want to make all the parks the same. They have a different focus. Truly, KD Park, when I was elected, was locked up and closed. At that point, I met with the three communities, Twin Lakes, Randall, and Wheatland, which all abut on the corner of that park. We told them what our vision was, had listening sessions, and the result has been they love it. It's a passive park. We have a trail surrounding the lake, so you can hike around that lake. You would think you're in Trempealeau County. you just get lost out there in a nice way. The trails are clearly marked. You can park your car now. It's not a gravel road. Like Matt said, we got a stewardship grant to put the road in that doesn't detract from the landscape. And there is a beautiful trail that was built by hand by the at-risk youth program when we hire summer youth to help get a education and a little bit of work experience and a half a credit of high school degree. And we help take off the rough edges and have them turn the corner. Get up every day, go to work, and it's been a highly successful program. And we have how many miles of trail out there?
I'd say close to 5 miles.
Five miles. If you want a passive park and get lost, that's a great hike. It is spectacular views.
Can you explain that term passive park, what that exactly means?
So people who don't want programming, they want to park their car and be with themselves and their own thoughts.
So in a sense, it's a quieter park.
Yes, you are not supervised. I mean, occasionally there'll be a car coming through checking on things, but you aren't going to find a park ranger. You aren't. You're on your own. If you're on the hike, bring a water bottle. Mm-hmm. But it is a passive, but it is one of the very beautiful scenes that if you haven't seen it, it's worth your time.
Right. So on the other hand, Petrifying Springs, although also is a beautiful area that certainly gives you that kind of experience, but there's also a lot going on at Petrifying Springs, and that's one of the things, Matt, that I understand that you have really brought about is a stronger emphasis on programming with essentially something happening every single day in a place like Petrifying Springs. So explain what the programming framework is there.
Absolutely. So we wanted to really kick off our 90th anniversary and our birthday this year by offering new, free, and exciting programs for any age group to really enjoy our busiest park being Petrifying Springs Park. So every day of the week this summer, families can enjoy different activities. On Mondays, we've hosted free yoga in the park. So every evening at 5:30 p.m., you're able to bring out either your yoga mat or even a beach towel if you're just a beginner and have yoga. And we partnerships are really important to us. So we partnered with CrossFit Kenosha in order to utilize their instructors, bring them into a park, and have a professional instructor have yoga in the park every Monday. Then on Tuesday, we have what's considered Tots in the Park. And this is a program for parents, guardians to bring their little ones, ages 3 to 5, into the park, and they're able to do nature-based and recreation activities with the little one in conjunction with Hawthorne Hollow. So Hawthorne Hollow has great programmers, naturalists that are able to do weekly themes. So every week is a different program for these kids, from playing with those giant parachutes. We got some nature hikes, species identification, something for everyone for those little tykes. Then on Wednesday, we have CrossFit in the park. So again, partnering with CrossFit Kenosha. If anyone's been intimidated, it's for beginners to try out CrossFit, and it's just another way for people to stay healthy and active and provide that free program for folks on Wednesday evenings. Thursdays, a Wildlife Explorers. So what this program is, it's a little bit of an older age group where it can be independent learning, ages 5 to 8, where parents can either drop off their kids or stick around and see what we do. But we partner with Hawthorne Hollow again, and we develop more nature-based recreation activities for the kids once a week there too. And then on Fridays, fun for the whole family, right in conjunction with our new beer garden, is movie nights. So on every Friday this summer, we're able to show family-friendly movies, Disney, Pixar movies. Secret Life of Pets is playing this Friday. So we welcome all families to come out to the outfield of our baseball diamond right at Pets next to the beer garden. And again, another free item for the general public.
Let's talk about the beer garden. It sounds like, and it looks like from what I can tell driving through Pets as often as I do, that has been quite a hit. I'm curious to know how much resistance you met with that proposal, just because it was something that, in a sense, kind of caught a lot of people by surprise. It's not like a lot of people looking at Pets thought, you know what this needs is a beer garden. I mean, and of course, people can imagine all sorts of scenarios where that might, in fact, impact on the park in a negative way. As far as I can tell, none of that has occurred. It's actually worked out really well. But can you speak to what kind of prompted the idea in the first place? And again, if there were any sort of serious concerns about it.
Sure, Greg. Let me just start on this, is that what I've been doing since elected as county executive, I like to look at what other people are doing in other communities. Right way, wrong way. How do we attract and keep our young people? What is Austin doing? What is Boulder, Colorado, Denver doing? Some things in San Francisco, San Jose, some areas that are ahead of the curve. You don't want to copy everything they're doing, but there are things that we could transplant and move here. And so we hired Matt and transplanted him here. And he was from Milwaukee County Parks, in which they have a number of these. And I'll let Matt talk about those, but we did a little research on this and just some recon on just to see how they were And after seeing them, and now having them here in Kenosha, you see people talking and not texting, and that's a welcome sight for me. Old friends acquainting that you never thought you'd see there, and you just happen to see them has been, I think, an especially strong point is what's happened as a result of that. But, Matt, I'm going to let you go into that.
Sure. So coming from Milwaukee County, I was able to have that firsthand experience of what truly a beer garden is. And even though it was rejuvenated through Milwaukee County, there's a strong heritage with the German population that these existed in the early 1900s as a gathering place for our blue-collar workers that wanted to have something to really bring that community vibe together, and what better place than in a park. So building off of that legacy of a beer garden, there was a revival of sorts to truly have a meeting place for the community. So utilizing that idea, we wanted to obviously work with our community to see if this was a feasible area within Petrifying Springs Park to bring this great idea into our constituents. And I think that it's been received very well. Our business partners with the Petrifying Springs Beer Garden have been doing fantastic, not only on bringing quality concessions, but it's more than that. It's more about the activities that they also bring within that area that we can't always do it by ourselves. We're always looking for others to bring value into our park system. So be it that every Sunday they have a family day that they bring up inflatable activities for the kids. So there's something for the kids to do on a daily basis. We're restoring our ball field over there so that they could have kickball. Every Thursday evening there's kickball going on in the area. They have trivia nights, young professional networking events. So every day they have something creative to bring to the table to try to build that community. And like Jim says, get people to talk to each other. These are large picnic table benches that you have to bring others that you might not know outside of your comfort zone and really bring them in so you can start a conversation. And right. What better way to do that is within a park-like setting.
Right, and in the fresh air, not in a dark, stuffy bar. But it's just a whole different environment. Yeah.
You can also go there and sit in there without buying anything. You can bring your own food and non-alcoholic beverage. It's a county park. It's still, you can sit in the beer garden and not order anything. It's okay to sit and converse or see who's there. So that's part of the deal. And the investment, the risk by the business was about $130,000. And part of the proceeds that they earn go back into the park system. So that's the kind of partnership we have. And it's been very successful. And some people prefer not to have any alcohol, but alcohol was already allowed out there with a beer permit. It's also sold at the golf course, which we have two golf courses, one at Brightondale, one at Pets, on the golf course. But the same laws apply. You shouldn't don't consume too much because you'll get a ticket. If you're loud and boisterous, believe me, the county sheriffs know how to get there pretty quick. They go through there frequently to patrol.
Right.
So any of those things that were already illegal are still illegal. And but it's been a very positive adult crowd because it's pricey for a young person, so they aren't going to be there.
Right, right.
So no, that's just the fact of the matter.
Sure. No, it does seem like it's worked out extremely well. So is that the site? Is it on that end of Pets where the celebration is on Saturday for the 90th anniversary? Down on the end of the beer garden, or is it kind of the whole Pets Park?
I would say that's our main hub of what's going on that day. So we're going to have our headliner bands perform from noon till 8:30 p.m., followed by fireworks. And that's all going to happen in that central region next to the beer garden. But also a benefit is all of our partnerships that we developed and sponsors made it possible for us to have each one of our pavilions also have numerous activities throughout the whole entire parkway. So that alleviates any congestion issues by having families visit multiple different areas throughout the park to have free entertainment and activities, interactive fun for all ages from basically one end of the park all the way to the other.
Fantastic.
And What's the website they can go on for all those activities?
If you visit either our Facebook page, you just can like us on Facebook, so search Kenosha County Parks, or you can actually visit us online at parks.kenoshacounty.org.
And we'll be parking that day and shuttled from Parkside?
Correct.
Parkside has been a good partner and neighbor of Petrifying Springs Park, and you park there, we're going to have many shuttles. It's going to be a quick response back and forth. Many can just walk right in the park. If you haven't been to Petrifying Springs Park, you should come and see it. If not on Saturday, some other time.
Absolutely.
It's not the park it was 10 years ago. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
It's a beautiful place. We should talk for a moment about the flooding, which affected, of course, not only Petrifying Springs, a lot of that park was underwater, but I'm guessing that some of your parks out in the western part of Kenosha County were probably hit even harder. Can you just say a word about just what kind of damage was done and how the parks are snapping back from that?
Well, first off, I have to give kudos to our remarkable staff with the parks and all of the county. It was truly amazing on the devastation that occurred and the response by all of our employees, including our park staff, that it was just the quickest response, a can-do attitude, and working together in order to restore our parks as quickly as possible. So kudos to all of our parks for doing that. Petrifying Springs Park, I never thought in my career I would see the condition it was with the Pike River raising to that flood stage, where we unfortunately had to close it for a couple days while the water levels had to subside and actually push towards Lake Michigan Basin. But afterwards, we were missing half of our playground with the amount of sand that just got washed away. Any of our trails were unfortunately eroded, where we had to restore a majority of those trails. Any non-paved surfaces really took a beating during that. But if you walk through there today, you wouldn't even be able to tell that we had a 100-year or a 500-year storm. And it's because of the passion of our employees that really wanted to make sure that they restored those parks and make them open and accessible for our constituents. Over at Fox River, that river doesn't drain, unfortunately, as quick as the Pike River. So it was slow going up and slow going down. And when that storm event happened, it truly landlocked Fox River Park, that no one could access it because all county highways leading to the park were locked off because of the river flooding. It was truly remarkable that when I was driving that morning and the flood waters were rising, I literally saw carp crossing the road at one time. There was that much water along our roads. So, again, there's still some work to be done over at Fox River Park, some grass to be restored, but we have remarkable staff that's working day in and day out in order to bring these parks back and restore them.
Right. I mentioned before we went on the air that when all the trees had to come down in Petrifying Springs because of that was the Emerald Ash Borer, right? That that just felt so devastating in the moment, and to some extent, of course, it still is. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of trees, right? And yet, there's something kind of gratifying to be able to walk through that park today and realize that it's still an incredibly beautiful place, even though sadly all of those trees had to go. That had to be a huge and painful undertaking for you and your staff. Not that you personally took the trees down.
That was painful for me to think about cutting those trees down because I'm an outdoors person. But what we did is we were able to cut down over 2,500 trees between Fox River and Brightondale and Petrifying Springs, actually close to 3,000, with a logger at $25 a piece. That's pretty cheap. But we could have them do it in February, close off the park, and they could take a tree down a minute because they didn't have anybody by them. They could work independently. We marked it so they didn't go over the irrigation lines. We got a pretty good deal out of that whole thing. It was able to be reused, repurposed. The scrap went to biomass, and the lumber itself, under the law, was transported to a lumber mill within 60 days and processed. So instead of dead trees dealing with, and we still have a few out there that they couldn't get to, We were able to actually reuse those trees, repurpose them, and then we rediversified with 12 indigenous trees to Wisconsin. So when this happens in the future, we're diversifying, so we aren't heavy on one species, as opposed to like we were with the ash. So lessons learned, reforestation took place, and the wood went to good use.
So about as positive as a sad story like that can possibly end.
And the Kenosha County's done with the ash issue, where other communities are still dealing with it.
Right.
And now that the wood is bad, they have very few options.
Right. That really is. That's got to be so frustrating. And again, there's some ways in which all of this has worked out so nicely. In fact, Jim, it was interesting. We just have a couple minutes left, but I want you to say a quick word about how you were able to get some exciting things done at points in time that were, in a sense, low points for Kenosha County, that nevertheless, things, especially with the park system, were able to move forward.
Right. And we've been aggressive in getting stewardship funds to pave our bike trails, the old North Shore line, to pave other bike trails throughout our community, to widen roads where we have a multi-use plan to widen the roads in certain areas to accommodate bicycles. We've been aggressive in getting those grants, and it's been, I think, to all of our benefit to do that. A couple of things I just wanted to mention, top 10 things to do or top few things to do. Fox River is now low again. Or getting lower again. We have 4 launches. It's a beautiful canoe ride. It's free. Take your kayaks, launch them one place, go to another, or just go to one launch and go up and down the river a little bit. The scenery is just beautiful on any of those launches. If you like hiking up and down Bristol Woods, awesome. I've gone out there with backpacks, with scouts, and as a training ground for hikes. It's absolutely magnificent. If you're a golfer, Brightondale and Pets are right in the top 10 of the courses. Matt?
You looking for my top 5?
Absolutely.
Well, I would say if you haven't been to KD and the improvements that we made, but like Jim said, that truly feels like you're in the middle of nowhere in a good way. So if you can hike those trails and get out there, they're remarkable. And then I would say Silver Lake in our beach area is one of the best beaches in the region. That if you go down there between Memorial Day and Labor Day, they're well manicured, beautiful green space, shelter, lifeguards on staff on a daily basis. That if you want something any day of the week to bring your family down there, that's definitely a hit. So if you haven't done that yet, and new this year is we're offering for purchase rental equipment for canoes, kayaks, and paddle boards. So not only can you enjoy the swim-up area, but you can rent out non-motorized activities over at Silver Lake, and those have been really popular this year.
Cool. And I do encourage people to go to the website, and there's a nice map that shows exactly where all of these various county parks are, and they are all worth a visit. And I'm so glad that we had this chance to talk today about all of the beautiful things that one can explore and experience in Kenosha County's parks. And again, their 90th anniversary is being celebrated this Saturday. Remind our listeners of time and place.
This Saturday, the kickoff starts at noon, so 12 p.m. And like I said, if you go to Petrifying Springs Park, there's going to be activities throughout every part of that park. Every pavilion has interactive games, features, face painters, musicians, magicians, and then our headliners include Sam Yannis Band, formerly from the Bodines. We have some country for the country music lovers with Saddlebrook, and then we have Altered 5 Blues Band as our headliner. So if you like blues, come out there. And then we have fireworks to kick everything, to finalize the night. So if anything else, come enjoy a nice firework presentation at the end of the evening.
Very good.
Park at Parkside. We'll shuttle you down. It'll be a fun day.
Great. And we want to remind people also that there's a great little map of the Kenosha County Parks, the activity guide, which spells out where all the parks are and all the things going on.
They can request that to be mailed to them online. They can just go to the county exec's office or the parks department. We'll mail them one.
Very good. So we want to thank Matt Collins, the director of parks of Kenosha County Parks, and Jim Cruiser, the county executive. We appreciate your time today and all the information you've shared with us. And happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
See you Saturday.
Thanks again for being here. Tomorrow on the morning show, we'll preview the upcoming Pike River Rendezvous, sponsored by the Kenosha Public Museum, which is also this weekend. And on Friday, we're going to preview for you the Starving Artist Fair. That's up in Racine on the Racine Gateway campus on Sunday afternoon. And on Monday, we are